Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening, and welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Vin, and let's get this draft recap show underway, recapping the rest of the draft, undrafted free agents, and all sorts of fun stuff in regards to the draft. Let's get this thing started. Internet seems to be incredibly slow tonight and pulling up absolutely everything, so that's always a good thing, as there's information that needs to be brought up to discuss, so I don't look bad. So there's that. All right, doing that, things started. People called in already. Right here is Butta, right here. Butta the Bears fan, right there. Hello, sir.
Yay, yay.
All right, there's Butta, and here is Razor right there.
Hello, hello.
Right there. All right, hello, gentlemen. All right, so draft is over. Off-season is officially here.
When's the next draft again?
Could be a while. A little bit of time, but off season's here, so draft's over. And I leave this draft as it completed, feeling the exact same as I did yesterday. Really happy that we got Jalen Ramsey, and incredibly nonplussed about everyone else. Today was fascinating. I've only heard of one of these people that we drafted today, and that was Sheldon Day out of Notre Dame, which, interesting pick, undersized defensive tackle. Seems like undersized is the name of the game anymore, which is interesting. I don't know much about Day. I know people seem to love him, so I like that. Other than that, Tyrone Holmes out of Montana, apparently a FCS guy. Never heard of him. Apparently solid. 18 sacks, even against terrible competition, is still 18 sacks. So that's solid. Backup quarterback in Brandon Allen out of Arkansas. Know absolutely nothing about him. And finally, Jonathan Woodard out of Central Arkansas. Pass rusher. Know nothing about him. That pretty much sums up the draft. I don't know who any of these people are. So, fun time.
I mean, most of these guys, well, the 6th and 7th rounders for sure, will probably not see the field more than a few snaps a game at best. So them making the team at all is a big win for you.
Yeah.
But they probably will because the Jags suck.
Yeah, we're pretty bad. Yeah, you mentioned that we potentially got 4 starters on defense. If any time you're drafting 4 starters on defense, that just means you're bad. I mean, that's essentially what that means. All right, we've got other people calling in right now. This is, I believe Fart Waffles, right here, calling in to talk about his Texans, I believe, right there.
Hey.
Hello, sir.
Yeah. Hi. I mean, we don't have to talk about the Texans, but just the draft in general. But, yeah.
All
right,
what's
up, guys?
Good.
I mean, the Texans did a good job. So,
some things I liked, some things I didn't. I mean, I guess you could say that about all drafts, but I think to sum up that draft, though, is I'm really glad that they went out and got some speedsters, because the Texans' skill position players might have been the slowest in the NFL, seriously. It might have been the slowest, and now they've drafted, with three guys that are burners. So, yeah.
Jesus. I just pulled up the Texans draft. Oh, my God.
I guess that's like the draft. Or at least pretty close because the Jags won the draft. I mean, Texans
are
the
draft. I won't even argue
depending
that.
Depending on how Jack is. Yeah.
I think the Jaguars won the draft for sure. I mean, even if Jack doesn't play this year or plays sparingly this year and then he's back to normal or as close to normal as possible for next year, that's still a win. To get him at the top of the second round is just stupid. It's stupid. It should not have gone that way.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Jack this year. I just, you know, I think the issue was with his long-term future, so we'll see how that holds up. But in the short term, yeah, I'm like, dude, he's going to play this year. He had the video of him dunking. He still has explosive. His knee is fine. But if he, like, craps out 3 years, I still think it's a good pick.
I think that makes it a great pick because then the Jags don't have to pay him a lot of money.
Yeah, we get him past that. Get him past that rookie contract. All right, Cherry has called in and hung up, and then called back. So I'm gonna put him on before he hangs up again. All right, here we go. Right there.
You should hang up on him.
Yeah, to hear your attention. Just ignore
right
me
there.
Over there.
Hello, sir. Yeah, conversation started.
I don't.
Yeah. Conversation started. I don't like interrupting people, so you had to wait. But you're here now. That's good.
Right. Hey,
all right. So yeah, everybody feeling decent about their drafts so far? I can't say so far.
No.
Things over with. So that's pretty much done. So, all right, Bud is not happy.
You got Hoyer.
Yeah, we got Brian Hoyer. I saw that. That feels a little dirty. I'm not going
like
to lie.
You got yourself a franchise quarterback for the first time in Bears history.
Like, I don't even want to hear the jokes about our quarterback situation, but we'll see exactly where the offense picks up with Gase leaving. But from what I hear, the quarterback coach was a bigger influence than Adam Gase. So I'm hoping that's true. I'm hoping color still looks good and we don't have to go back to the color jokes this year. But Brian Hoyer,
He's a backup. You could do a lot worse with the backup quarterback than Brian Hoyer. So just pray that he doesn't actually have to go in and make some starts. That's the main thing.
Yeah, he's not Jimmy Clausen against Seattle. Oh, my God.
Oh, 10 punts. No first downs.
No, don't talk about it.
Yeah, flashbacks.
Man, speaking of flashbacks, we drafted a fullback.
What
year
is it? Yeah.
Not five fullbacks drafted. And it was just like, that's five fullbacks too many. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, Jay's brother got drafted by the Chargers.
Yeah, this draft was crazy. A bunch of punters, a bunch of quarterbacks, and fullbacks. I did not see this coming. And then the one kicker besides the Florida State guy, the UCLA guy, didn't even get drafted. But a long snap
Texans actually
drafted.
Picked him up. Texans picked him up in undrafted free agency. The crazy kicker from UCLA with the name you can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Fairbairn or something.
That's why I said the kicker from UCLA. But a long snapper gets drafted. And he doesn't. But, yeah, this draft was nuts.
Popper for the basketball player.
Rico Gather.
Rico Gather is over, like, Jeremy Cash. What's going on right now? You have, all-world safety in college go undrafted. You have a basketball player get drafted in the sixth round by the Cowboys.
That's because he can play tight end, because he played basketball.
Played basketball. Yeah, that's exactly how that works.
Yeah,
did you know that Antonio Gates played basketball?
See, in the mock draft with the Cowboys, I reached for OBJ's cousin, but I meant to reach for this tight end that never played football in middle school. So I was kind of on the right vibe.
He's like, I can feel the Cowboys doing some stupid shit. Yeah. I just don't know what yet.
I'm waiting for a team, like, 1 year in, like, the seventh round just to draft LeBron just for shits and gigs, just to see, like, what the reaction would be. Maybe, like, maybe the Browns do it and be like, hey, you know, but.
Hey, we own his right. Yeah, it's like Canadian football teams and whatnot holding rights to players and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just see it happen.
LeBron would probably show up knowing him.
Who knows? LeBron might be a free agent here in a little bit. So, hey, just come on over to the NFL.
So he can play tight end and GM.
Yeah, come destroy your body for way less
coach.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah, true. True. Absolutely. Yeah, you guys brought up Jeremy Cash. That's kind of an interesting story because the past couple weeks, his stock has been on the rise, at least from stuff that I've been looking at. You kind of see him move up to the prospect rankings list, and then all of a sudden, just nothing. So it seems like there's always a couple players every season that you anticipate get drafted. Maybe high mid rounds or whatever, that ended up just falling completely out of the. Just completely go undrafted for whatever reason, one reason or another. But outside of Cash, are there really any other big surprises that in terms of undrafted players? I'm kind of looking through the list here, and I'm not really seeing anything huge. I see the Bills picked up Glenn Gronkowski, which means absolutely nothing. I mean, fullback, obviously, Rob got all of the physical talent in that family. So, I mean, that's essentially just a name. But, I mean, I'm looking here, and I'm not really seeing much.
Not really. There was – I felt like a lot of players that I thought were about to go undrafted, they got picked up towards the end of the seventh round. Matakovich, Scooby Wright, Sharone Pete.
Scooby!
But yeah, Scooby. Those were like three guys that it looked like they were going to go undrafted, which would have been crazy, but they, some teams actually took some seventh-round flyers on them, which, they went a lot later than I expected, but I was, in a way, I was kind of hoping they would go undrafted so my team could maybe holler at them.
Vernon Adams went undrafted.
Oh, yeah, Vernon Adams, yeah.
Okay.
He didn't even sign a contract. He's only on like a tryout basis with the Seahawks, from what I read.
Hmm.
So it's
they
brought in Trevone Boykin, the TCU quarterback. They signed him to a contract, but they only invited Vernon Adams on a tryout basis alone. So from what
I
read,
I got a number of names, but. Starting with where we left off with the safeties, Jeremy Cash and Tyus Powell. So Cash, I can't understand. Like I was talking with Cherry, he's in a position that is hard to evaluate. They were a 4-2-5, and so basically he was in a safety hybrid, a safety linebacker hybrid role where he's always in the box, and so you didn't really get to see him play in the deep zone. So I'm not shocked by it. But Tyus Powell, that's a cover two man team. And if you could get Von Bell, I think Tyus Powell would play just as well. And with the number of safeties that were drafted from small schools and other places, I don't see how you pass on a Big Ten guy that really put up numbers. So with the safeties, that kind of, confused me. And then with receivers, I feel like there's a lot of guys that could have been drafted. So you look at first Geronimo Allison from U of I. a lot of people thought he was going to be big, and Kyaris Garrett from Tulsa, I thought he was going to get drafted. DJ Foster, Jay Lee from Baylor, like the list goes on and on of like what exactly were they looking at the receivers that these guys kind of got left off the board. And so I was kind of shocked with some of the people that didn't get drafted.
Yeah, my a lot of my picks ended up being undrafted in the mock draft game, so I'm kind of salty about that. Josh Ferguson from Illinois, Devin Kajuste, wide receiver. Just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know. I just depressed myself because I tallied up earlier. I tallied up my teams and how they did towards actual drafting and what I drafted them at, and I was all happy because it's like for the first time ever, I didn't have any undrafted players, which was amazing. And now as I sit here looking through the undrafted players list, I see that Tom Hackett didn't get drafted, and I drafted him, and that just absolutely ruined things for me. Bummed me out.
I think every player I picked got drafted. I'm not totally sure, though, or not. I'll have to look back on that. But talking about Tyvis Powell, though, that makes me feel a lot better if you were a big fan of him, because the Texans reportedly signed him over, and we definitely need the help at safety. So hopefully that one pans out.
Yeah. But safeties this year kind of mirrored our mock draft, where it was a ridiculous run on safeties for no apparent reason and God's green earth. And then it kind of happened in the draft where I'm like, Keanu Neal is a first pick. I was like, is it because the movie Keanu is coming out on Friday with Key and Peele? I don't understand why he became a first-round pick, especially a mid-round pick. And so this year was just crazy with that. But then you got safeties that were highly rated that didn't get drafted, so it makes no sense to me.
But I got it. I got it right. Keanu Neal to the Falcons. Just took him one round too late.
Since you guys are wanting to talk about your mock drafts, I'm just going to take a moment to brag about my 49ers draft. Carson Wentz, I got number 7. He went number 2 real life. Corey Coleman, I get at number 37. He went 15, of course. Kenny Clark, I got at 68. He went 27. TJ Green, I got at 106. He went in the second round. Bronson Calfusi, I got at 134. He went 70. Lawrence Neville didn't get picked. Jacoby Brissett, I got 146. He went like 91. Jordan Howard, John Theus, all these guys got drafted.
Yeah, I can't even brag about the mock. It was just so dumb. I knew it, though. I was, like, looking at our mock. I was like, so many of these guys are going to get drafted way higher than we actually drafted them.
Yeah.
But looking at my Dallas draft, I'm like, I have so many undrafted players. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It looks like my best player was Evan Baum. It looks like I took him at 241 for Andy, and he actually went number 128. That's a nice little value there. But I overdrafted. Most of my guys were overdrafted. So, oh, well, that's what happens every single year in this mock draft game. Did the show just cut out a second ago? I don't think it's dependent on me actually calling in because I accidentally hung up. So,
man, I can't believe you.
Yeah. I was tired of this conversation. I just peaced out. I guess I accidentally just hung up. It happens. At least that doesn't end the show. Maybe it does. I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, do we want to do like a best draft, worst draft thing? I mean, I know that's fairly reactionary because it's impossible at this point to actually grade that, because it's like you're never going to know the actual results on this, but until, you know, essentially years down the line. But I mean, you guys want to do like a preliminary who won the draft, or you guys got something else in mind?
I can tell you who won the draft. the Denver Broncos, because John Elway is a genius, and that's why we drafted an Aussie rules player in the second round. He's totally got this under control. Everyone else is playing checkers. John Elway is playing crazy eights with half a stack of cards. We got this.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yep.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Be fine. Be fine.
Be fine. Look at how fine we are. It's fine.
It's fine. Totally fine.
We've got a franchise
totally
quarterback.
Fine.
It's fine. We've got Devontae Booker. It's fine.
It's
nothing
fine.
Yeah.
You guys can
he's a beast.
Make that mistake and take Gontis in the second round because you got Booker in the fourth and you got Paxton Lynch. You guys are fine. You put the stupid punter and fullback picks. You guys can handle it.
The punter
did
in the seventh round, I mean, that's where punters go. Punters go in the seventh round. That's fine. We have shitty Britton Colquitt. I don't care. You know,
is Britton Colquitt actually bad? Is he?
Britton Colquitt is mediocre. Britton Colquitt is the vegetables you don't eat.
Did you guys see Jake Plummer skiing down to give the pick?
Yeah, and the Bronco mascot just falling over. It was great.
Yeah, that might have been the best introduction for a draft pick I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I think we should do that every time. Fuck Goodell. Let's just have some crazy shit happen. Jackson DeVille should light himself on fire before every Jaguars pick. Something crazy like that, you know, it would just be great.
Well, he paralyzed down for a pick, and that was just that was pretty.
Yeah, but that's kind of lame for Jackson DeVille standards, though.
Yeah, he needs to, moon the crowd and, kick a pregnant woman in the ovaries.
Yep. And then pull the draft card out of her ovaries.
Yep.
She gives birth to the draft card.
And then shotgun a beer with Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Brutal. Yeah. Jackson's kind of dead to me because it's ever since the dude that's, that was Jackson for years retired, it's why do we even have Jackson anymore? It's he was Jackson. He can't just stick somebody else in the suit and have it be all right. But apparently he can.
It's about the spirit of the thing. It's not who's in the suit. It's about the spirit of the suit.
Apparently.
I was born in the suit.
It's like he's
molded by it.
He's still... Yeah. Oh man, fans amazing, so quotable. But yeah, it's just I don't know. Even the rappelling in, it's no, you can't do that. The old guy did that. No, and it still happens. It's in front. This just cannot stand, but it will because that's the way things are. But,
at least your mascot knows how to stand up.
And then I think
Bob
Brown
fan now.
Oh. Yes, he is.
Are you switching teams again?
Did any of y'all have, I guess, to keep the spirit of the conversation going, did any of y'all have any day three picks that you just absolutely hated from your team?
Yes.
All of them?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I can't pronounce this dude's name, but the linebacker from West Virginia. I just.
Kwiatkowski or whatever.
Kwiatkowski?
Yeah.
There's a lot of highbrow.
Yeah, I don't hate him. I just like where we picked him. But we, looking at our draft, we had hella picks. Ryan Pace really stocked up the team this year. So, but I'm we get an inside linebacker after signing two of the top inside linebackers in free agency. It's you could have waited to pick that guy or pick a different guy, but whatever. I mean, other than that, I didn't hate any pick.
I thought the biggest mistake in day one was the Bears going up and getting Leonard Floyd, and I still absolutely
here we go.
That.
We must be Terry.
But hold on. But every other pick in the Bears draft I thought was nearly perfect. I thought they had an absolutely amazing draft outside of that. The White hair second round, Bullard third round. I think Bullard was potentially bottom of the first talent that just kept slipping. I'm a really big fan of DHC, Jordan Howard. I can't get on with that first round pick, but everything else
Yeah, I'm sure you can't. I'm sure you are having a good, hearty laugh deep from the core at us picking Leonard Floyd, but that's perfectly fine.
Texting me Leonard Floyd got picked. I started talking shit. You just disappear for a whole day.
My phone was not working properly, but at 5 in the morning, I got all your texts about Leonard Floyd, so don't worry.
I know, you're sitting there drinking yourself.
I knew Terry was on his way to attack me. I was like, okay, but it's fine. It's cool. But we're talking about day three. This is not about the first round picks of the show.
About day one?
Yeah.
All right. Favre has called in. I am not certain if he has called in just to hang out on the show since we have now reached the.
Probably that's the case.
All right. I don't really. A little to say. All right. He's not going to get put on then. Unless he wants to say something in chat, whatever. All right, so we'll ignore him unless he says otherwise. Unless he wants to, whichever. All right.
Let's talk about Packers in memoriam of JD.
Yeah.
Is that the whitest guys they could find? Was that the plan? Just draft every white guy?
Yeah.
The Packers. Yeah.
Green Bay Packers, babe.
Commitment to
their first round pick was black, and then it was like they just went straight up KKK for the rest of the draft, basically.
Yeah, you know, you got a guy named Tyler from Utah State. Don't think you get any lighter than that.
No. But, I mean, where else is a dude from Tyler going to come from other than Utah State? I mean, really.
Brigham Young. That's about it.
Sure. Yeah.
BYU in the house.
They also took some Martinez guy, but that guy, if he was in Texas, they'd be calling him white. That guy, the picture they showed of him, that guy is not a Martinez. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'll go
guy...
outside and show you what a true Martinez looks like, and that guy does not look like a Martinez.
Yeah, they just changed his name before the draft to make it seem like they were an inclusive team.
Yeah,
it's actually Blake Martin.
Write down Blake Martinez.
Probably helped his draft status.
Well, hey, it helped out with the German dude, right? He got drafted.
Yeah, Mike Mayock got Moritz Boringer drafted.
Yep.
Yes, yes. I like how they some teams. I mean, you know, Viking fan. Right off the bat, that's just that's terrible. Terrible choice in teams. Terrible.
Very true.
Did anybody think that was like a reach, or you think that was like a good spot to take a guy? I mean, he's like clearly super raw, but he has stuff. He has tangibles that you just can't coach. You can't coach his measurables. So, I mean, I don't know. How did y'all feel about that pick?
It's just terrible.
He's sexy.
Wow.
Nothing against
who cares?
So, I mean, yeah. Throw all the money at him. Throw all the sex.
Six and seven round.
I don't really care if you're picking guys in the sixth and seventh round. That's just a complete mess. You never know what you're gonna get back there. So might as well just take a shot at a guy if you think he can possibly pan out to be something.
But I mean that's a fairly terrible fit. I mean, I know you're taking a flyer on the guy, it's a sixth round pick, but I mean it's not like Minnesota really has this grand track record of actually making receivers, you know, work out essentially. I mean, Cordero Patterson hasn't been great. Mike Wallace used to be decent and was terrible last season. So
I mean, yeah, you need weapons.
If C. Ware's listening, he's going to explode right now because apparently every receiver the Vikings have are all pro, so.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs is the best wide receiver in football right now.
Antonio Brown, Vikings.
All about Stephon Diggs.
The Vikings is an open tryout at receiver. Let's not sugarcoat it. Like, that's a great place for him to go. Who cares? Like, they have no true starter. I don't care what Diggs did for your fantasy football team. There's no real receiver on that team yet. So,
I was a good place on Diggs in fantasy last year.
Damn, I love Charles Johnson.
He was so
Charles Johnson alone better than anyone on the Packers. Charles Johnson alone, best receiver.
Gotta ask a serious question about that Vikings draft, though. Are you a Beavers guy?
I'm of a Bush.
I think we can all agree that that was the best moment in this draft. just how oblivious I think Mayock was just to the whole situation. I don't think it hit him until like a producer mentioned it into his ear like right before the break. Because I mean, you just said all straight faced and deadpan, and I don't. Everybody else is cracking up. And I don't think it quite hit him what was going on.
No, and then Rich said, "Guy named Johnson's pick next. I'm out of here."
Yeah. Finally, come back from the break, all composed, and it's just. I think we can all agree that that's the best moment of the draft. But I mean, that's got to be absolutely brutal. Being up there on that stage for as many hours as they are, and that's just, you know, names and breaking down stuff and mentally breaking down. It's got to be absolutely brutal.
See, that just proves that the draft is probably more enjoyable just watching on TV, because I missed that moment, and I'm in the middle of the draft town. And I didn't get to experience that funny moment. I had no idea it happened until you guys just told me. See? So, yeah. Philly,
I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. I know Deadspin tweeted out about it like just a couple minutes after it happened with the video, so it's out there. I think we can all agree it's the best moment of the draft.
I think probably day three was probably the most fun part of the draft because you see these guys sitting out there for 7 hours, just starting to get tired and start acting funny and going off the normal route. Yeah, just dicking around. Like, just pick play on Twitter. Like, hey, just pick some players. We'll see if the truck has it. Like, don't give a shit about the guys that are getting picked.
I think they came up with a guy named Macklefresh. Like, who are these people?
Oh, yeah, Sims McElfresh out of West Virginia, I think.
Outstanding. Yeah, it's just... But, I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's late picks, you know, fifth round and on. I mean, you want to fake enthusiasm, but it's like, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, you're going to be lucky if half these, maybe even less than that, are you know, half these players even make a roster, you know, by the time cuts roll around. So it's just like, you know, congratulations, you got drafted, but it's not going to amount to much.
Yeah. Honestly.
Okay. Good.
I was just going to say, honestly, I think it's the build up to the first round that really kills day three because it's so much energy and mock drafts and thoughts and exercises on what the first round is going to be. And then this year, you have the crazy stuff happen, like, all over the first round. Started with Bosa going number three and then Laramie Tunsil and all that. So, I think...
Started way
before
that. Started when the Rams went all the way up to number one. And then it's just been...
Well, yeah, true. So it's just like by day three, you're completely drained. There's not much to – even if it was these people that were going to make the roster, you have no energy to even fake enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to the sixth round and stuff like that, you start having guys like a long snapper out of Baylor going. These guys don't know that. Even a guy like Mayock, who his job is to scout these guys and be able to analyze it on TV, even he's not going to know about some of these guys that are getting taken. It's just a complete shit show once you get to around the sixth round. So they're just trying to pass time and make it through the rest of the draft.
I was just going to say, you got guys in the seventh round like Tyler Matakevich, who I just saw went to the Steelers. So, Terry, go ahead. This is your moment. Your boy got drafted.
I'm not even that big of a Matakevich fan. I just picked him because I hadn't actually studied up that much for the mock draft. I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'll take a shot at Matakevich. He was decent in the Senior Bowl when I saw him. But after going back and watching a bunch of tape on him all that in the Senior Bowl, he was like a fifth rounder to me. So I'm not even shocked he fell farther than that.
Way to backpedal.
I'm just happy how about much the CIS representation. David Onyata from University of Manitoba. Yeah, boy.
Oh, yeah. I should have probably asked this in one of the drafts leading up to draft shows. But how much does a good Senior Bowl performance kind of erase some of the bad tape that you kind of put on in the season? Does it help really much at all, or is that kind of, you know, it's nice, but it's not really going to do much for you?
Ask Sheldon Rankins. Yeah. Sheldon Rankins went top 15, and the only positive thing I could hear is you put on his Senior Bowl tape, and I'm like, yeah, put on the rest of his career.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that might be an outlier. I mean, I think the Senior Bowl, what it really does is it just shows, especially like with some players that might be in like smaller schools or like not in the greatest competition conferences, they get to put them against some other players that do play from some of the bigger conferences, and just kind of you get an idea of how they might hold up at a higher level. But I don't know if like a Senior Bowl performance is necessarily going to sell a GM over just one weekend or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that when it comes to the Senior Bowl performances, I mean, they can have a little bit of an effect. You can kind of, especially for the teams that are coaching the Senior Bowl, they get a feel with the players and they get to talk to them and understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, you can't look at a guy who dominates the Senior Bowl, like let's say Sheldon Rankins, who I had as a late second just watching tape, and push him up that high board just because he had a good Senior Bowl. They're not running the same, like, they're running a very limited playbook, basically, at the Senior Bowl. They're not doing too much special. It's just pretty much a showcase. So you got to look at the tape. I'd say it's probably about 90% tape is what you're looking at when you're grading a guy. And then the other 10% is like Senior Bowl, pro days, combine, stuff like that. But it's about 90% what you see on tape.
See, I got to disagree a little with you guys just because the senior, I agree with you, that's how it should be, but in reality, that's not how it is. I agree the smaller schools is big for them. Like, we got DeAndre Hall out of Northern Iowa, and I'm not happy because in the Senior Bowl, he didn't do well or practice. And it's like you said, because you're going against top-level competition, it's an all-star game at the end of the day. So you're getting to see them against the top seniors in the NCAA. And people take it to heart a little too much just because it's a lot of one-on-one, it's a lot of competition, and it's a lot of really getting to see how you hold up when the lights are on instead of in the middle of, you know, a scheme. And so I think people do put big stock into the Senior Bowl. We've seen a lot of Senior Bowl players get drafted high.
Eric Fisher. Very, very very good example of a Senior Bowl guy who does great the whole week and ends up getting taken. He's nowhere close because he didn't play it. He wasn't, like, talented enough to even be taken. He's not facing equal competition to a guy who's played in the SEC or the Big Ten.
All right, John, I'm gonna have to
Jaguar.
All right, I'm into this thing. This thing fixed to cut me off. Thank you, gentlemen, for calling in. And yeah.
Cody Kessler.
Sucks.